We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Live on location at Ingles Markets in beautiful Spartanburg, South Carolina, you're listening to the most interactive sports radio show in the states. Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate, going on until 7 p.m. today. We shared with you kind of some scoop that we had just before the show today that Billy Napier, per a trusted source, Billy Napier will be interviewing in person with the Gamecocks this weekend. People are saying, okay, well, if Shane Beamer's the guy, why haven't we heard an announcement? I would guess that this is why. And you guys know, as well as I do, when you have a second interview, right, you're talking about more specifics. First interview, probably communicated what the demands were. Both sides go back to the drawing board. South Carolina comes back and says, okay, here's what we're able to do moving forward. This interview, whereas the first interview was via Zoom, this interview will be in person. And so there you go. Perhaps the decision on Beamer is not yet finalized indeed. Joining us for his weekly segment, look forward to it each and every week. Enjoy sparring with him both in this segment and on social media. Our guy, Josh Pate, host of the Late Kick Show on 24/7 Sports and also on YouTube and podcast as well. Josh Pate joins us right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. Good afternoon, pal. What's up?
I am sitting in a Publix parking lot, and I've been doing a good amount of people watching over the last 10 minutes because I wanted to be parked instead of driving for our interview because sometimes the ambient noise can be bad. And let me tell you, when you live in a city like Nashville where it's not quite north and not quite south, the wardrobe choices person to person are just fascinating on a day like this.
Tell me some of what you've seen.
So I'm looking at a woman right now who is dressed as though she's about to compete in the Iditarod, and yet I'm wearing short sleeves, and we're both about to walk through the same parking lot.
Oh, man, that is great. By the way, I am the person that dresses like they look like they're in the Iditarod. When the alarm clock goes off the last couple of days, Josh, I just say nope, and then we just resume.
I bet you still haven't bought a coat yet, have you?
I don't have a good one, Lonzo. I don't have a good one. Listen, this Florida beach boy is not comfortable up in these kind of temperatures. Josh, the latest on Napier, I've heard that there's going to be a second in-person interview with Napier. Part of the reason why perhaps they haven't finalized the deal with Shane Beamer just yet. What in your opinion, what are the determining, deciding factors in this decision for the Gamecocks moving forward?
Well, I was talking to someone earlier this morning kind of about this, and I one thing I'm not is as close to Ray Tanner as maybe some of the folks up there in your neck of the woods are. I mean, I know of him, I've met him before, but like I don't know Ray Tanner personally. So I say that to say this, I don't know if he's the kind of guy and the people who are ultimately in charge with making this decision, the kind of folks who are going to be wowed by an interview presentation, or if they're the kind of folks who really want to dig deep, X's and O's. We don't really care how many funny anecdotes you have. Like, we don't really care how many backs you slap. We want the right football coach. And I'm not saying that Beamer's not that or Napier is that, but I do think it'll play a large role, that along with how many resources you're willing to commit to various candidates, mostly Napier at that point, if you're talking about resources. Those kinds of factors are what are in play here. I don't think that, maybe contrary to some of the narrative out there, I don't think that this was ever 90% done one way or the other. What I do think is Shane Beamer is doing exactly what I would do if I were him. He is doing what Ed Orgeron did when Orgeron was trying to get the LSU job. He's lobbying, and he's using every resource imaginable to lobby. Again, I don't criticize it. I admire it because I do exactly the same thing. I don't think Billy Napier is that kind of guy. And so whereas Napier always knew in all likelihood he had a second round coming and this was never over, I think because he's kind of quieter and he's got a season going on, he's focused on that, I just think that maybe since there was no new information coming out of that camp, then by default, you start to run with the information that you can get. Not that it's false, by the way. That's where the drip is. That's where the attention's going to go. And so this is going to happen Saturday. I expect the decision to be made shortly thereafter. The good news, as far as I can tell, is we don't have any wild mystery candidate. Well, maybe that's not good news because that's always fun to me if I'm not involved. But sure. I think, yeah, like you said, I think this is going to be decided. And listen, the one other thing that I never kind of latched on to is I think there's been this kind of story put out there that, well, Billy Napier just wants too much money. And a lot of people assume that means, well, the dude wants $5 million for himself. It's not necessarily that. It's like I talked about on the show the other night. He's got to get a yes to everything. And I think a lot of folks who are anywhere close to being in demand that are going to be asked to take the South Carolina job, they don't care about the, ooh, it's a hard job, it's an uphill battle. They don't care about that as long as they get yes to all their resource demands. Staff pool, facilities, support staff, analyst roles, all that stuff's got to be ironed out. The reason is because Kirby Smart gets all that. Dan Mullen gets all that. So historically, you would look at Carolina and say, Carolina is an uphill job compared to those two. A competitor wouldn't look at it that way, but even a competitor would say, you can't possibly expect me to compete against them if you're not going to give me the yeses they get. That's what I think the hanging point has probably been for Napier so far.
So as Josh Pate joins us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate, let's say that it's not just, as you said, not just about personal wealth, personal contract, but the entire picture. Let's just say, and I try not to live in a world of hypotheticals, but I need to for this argument, Josh, that the total Napier package and all that he's asking for is going to cost a financially strapped South Carolina $3 million more annually than the package where with Shane Beamer would, who would just will take anything that you give him at this point. If that is the case, you're the athletic director of a financially strapped institution. Do you really, tighten the belts and make the play for Napier? Or do you say, what? Well, let's make everybody happy. Let's bring Beamer in here.
No, see, the make everybody happy thing, you got to make him happy 3 years down the road. That's where I'm trying to think. And so 3 years down the road, who's more likely to make us happy? Because the way I would look at it is this. Someone came at me with this the other night and said, oh, we can't afford this. Well, man, you can afford to buy Muschamp out. So, what are we talking about? Can't afford it. And I would just imagine, and this is kind of a 50,000-foot deal, anytime that you have cobbled together the financial backing to buy out a coach and pay him $250,000 a month for the next 4 years, what in the world are we talking about with three extra $1 million a year in relation to what we've already committed? So, we've already gone this far. If we think we got the right candidate, and that's really the bottom line, if we think Napier's the right guy, yes, you commit to it. Because here's what I'm thinking about, Mark. I'm not thinking about 2020. I'm sitting there 2023, and it's the fourth quarter, and it's 23-23 versus Georgia. South Carolina's driving. They just got into plus territory to take the lead in a game that may decide the SEC East. Is anyone sitting on the 20-yard line, 14th row, saying, man, even if we win this, we're spending $3 million more dollars on this guy per year than we could have with – no one's saying that. And so 3 years down the road, if you got the right guy, it was well worth it and then some.
I would totally agree, Josh. You had a very interesting question submitted to your Late Kick Extra podcast. I'd like to answer it. The question is, and I'll pose it to you guys as well, which job would you rather take if you were an in-demand head coach, Tennessee or South Carolina? Josh, I'm taking South Carolina, and I'll tell you why. The thing that raises blood pressure, the thing that makes coaching one of the most unhealthy professions, as I've now heard from at least three doctors over the course of my life, is one word, that is expectations. Expectations make a job unbearable, make a job very, very stressful, do all sorts of bad things for your health. Tennessee, they still, fair or not, realistic or not, expect to be in the SEC championship game year in and year out. South Carolina, you go 8-4, they'll have a statue for you outside of the stadium. I think the expectations combined with the facilities, combined with the fan passion, you could be a god at South Carolina and live a great life there on the lake for the rest of your life. I'm thinking about your life, Josh Pate. I care about you, and that's why you should rather be at South Carolina than Tennessee.
Yeah, well, what I'm going to do, Mark, and I'm going to circumvent this by taking the Tennessee job, and I'm going to do what I can there, and then one day down the road, I'm going to take Mark Stoops' spot at Kentucky, which is the best job in the SEC if you really stack it all up. Well, that dude's making that much money to win less than 8 games per year and gets a raise if he wins 7 per year. So that's my game plan. But, no, in all seriousness, everything you just said is valid. Like, there are clearly two schools of thought here. And my other school, so I went in the other category. I went Tennessee. And the reason I went Tennessee is mainly because it's kind of a personal deal for me, not that I grew up a Tennessee fan or anything like that, but I've always kind of bristled at this idea that Tennessee cannot be an elite program anymore. And I don't gather that. And I always ask folks, what's the reason? What are the reasons? Naturally, they go to recruiting. And I call BS on it every time. And the reason they say is, well, they don't have enough in-state talent. Well, they don't. We do data sets every year on this. And I look at it every year, and year over year, there's one solid trend in recruiting. In a sea of uncertainty, the one solid trend is year over year, state lines matter less and less. Guys go all over the place. That's what the internet has done. That's what the social media age has done. You're routinely talking to kids from 3,000 miles away. You didn't used to do that in 1985. And so what I'm looking at is a six-hour radius I draw around Knoxville. And I get the Carolinas in there. I get Atlanta, northern Alabama, pretty much all of Tennessee, Virginia. It's so talent-rich. And then if you're good, you can go – anybody who's good can recruit Florida. And, you know, Jeremy Pruitt can recruit South Alabama and whatnot. Go to Texas if you want to. They have everything there. They've screwed up coaching hires. That's what they've screwed up. So it's been a generation since Tennessee and national championship contender, since those things have been said in the same sentence. But yet – I still think it can exist if you get the coaching hire right. And Mark Ryan, I believe I am the right coaching hire for Tennessee.
You've sold me, sir. You've sold me. Coastal and BYU, Josh, do you have any insight as to how this thing came together so swiftly? And then just kind of the hypocrisy behind, hey, look, for COVID concerns, we can't play Notre Dame-Wake Forest 11 days from now, but we can play Coastal and BYU in 2 days, can't we? Let's make it happen.
Okay, let me breathe deep here. It is a salient point, and you know how rarely I use that word. It is a salient point, but I have long since given up looking for consistency in principles and standards this year. And so it has basically just become like you and your buddies go down to the park this Saturday and hope you can get a pickup game with someone. And like that is the standard with which we are operating. It's a miracle that Brigham Young could get their equipment truck loaded up and on the road in time to make it to this game. That's how quickly it feels like it came together. You know, like hats off, obviously, to the folks behind the scenes who made it happen. But what it also shows is, like you said, this has always been possible. And yeah, I'll extend further. I mean, think about. In a world prior to 2020, we were told you had to wait 10 years. You had to get scheduling done a decade in advance. And now we're getting it done 4 or 5 days in advance. So a lot of the narratives about why we can't schedule this and why we can't do that, man, that stuff's been blown to smithereens. So if there's one positive that we can glean from this, it is in the future, no one's ever going to be able to tell you, well, you know, we'd love to get games. We can't do it.
Josh Pate, 24/7 Sports, joining us here on the show. Josh, you said something that Lonzo has said quite a bit on this show this week, that the Big Ten is going to change any rule that they have to change to make sure that the Buckeyes are in that Big Ten championship game. I don't necessarily disagree with you, but how does that make you feel?
Well, the first thing I thought you were going to say when you said I've been agreeing with Lonzo on something is how ludicrous it is you think you can take any female wrestler. That's where I thought you were going with that, which is ludicrous. Even the girl in the big polar bear jacket in front of me would agree with that. However, let me get back on track. How does it make me feel? It makes me feel icky. That's how it makes me feel. But yet, going back to what I just said, unlike the conferences, I don't want to be hypocritical. So when I told you I've long since given up hoping for standards and principles to be adhered to, it's out the window, first off. Now, secondly, the reason I won't probably lose any sleep over it at night is because it is so clearly by 10 miles Ohio State's conference this year. Now, if you want to argue with me, well, so what? They should still have to earn it and play the same rules everyone else plays. I understand that. Like, I'm fully on board with that. I'm not going to argue with it. It's just we're so far past that. You're trying to get a semblance of a season done, that this is probably what it comes down to. I just can't see any route now that we've actually gotten here. I can't see any route. Even though they passed and agreed to their own set of rules, I can't see them keeping them out of that game.
Josh, what programs has your opinion changed or evolved on, either positively or negatively, in the last few weeks of action?
Oh, in the last few weeks. Well, I could go to Michigan. It's really just weird up there. I mean, it's got to be such a weird thing. If you take a fan of, like, the Auburn Tigers or the Florida State Seminoles, it's got to be like watching football happen on a different planet. To watch how badly they underachieve and know how quickly and swiftly a move would be made on your head coach if he underachieved to that degree. And yet not only is anyone reputably talking about Jim Harbaugh being safe, not on the hot seat, I mean, they're talking about the possibility if he doesn't voluntarily leave for the NFL that they could extend him after this year. And so that kind of changes my feel on Michigan in that if they don't have a blessing fall in their lap, and by that I mean an NFL franchise come and convince Jim Harbaugh to take their job, where is Michigan football headed? And that's a program, like that's a brand and an organization, despite what some people say, that I believe should still be firmly in the top 7 to 10 spots in college football year in and year out, and they're just not close right now. Penn State isn't close either, but I think this is a one-off kind of deal for them. I just think for whatever reason they got disproportionately impacted by COVID. Michigan's problems are not COVID problems. Michigan's problems are football problems.
Josh Pate joining us here on the show this afternoon. Kirk Herbstreit's comments, Josh, at their essence, are based on frustration that the playoffs are all anybody cares about, and you got people opting out, and you got teams opting out. And he just kind of reached a boiling point with the whole thing and said something that he immediately regretted. You know, with this overarching issue that, if we're not in the playoff, why should we care? And then, I'm looking at Coastal and BYU today, and the only headline that I'm seeing over and over and over again is, does this get either one into playoff consideration? And I'm thinking to myself, Josh, my God, isn't that exactly what Kirk Herbstreit is talking about with this frustration? Any way to change that, Josh? Any way to change this hyper-focus on the playoff and nothing else matters?
Well, let me tell you what I do, because, you can only control what you control. So I'm not pretentious enough to think I actually have any control over this. But if you have any semblance of a platform nationally in this industry, here's how I go about it. I don't even talk about the playoff at this time of year. I mean, you will not catch me dead talking about playoff hypotheticals and scenarios and ramifications on a game that's happening in early to mid-September. Like, that's ludicrous. You are basically sabotaging the very sport that allows you to make a living doing what you love. He's right about that. He lives like 2 minutes behind the studio where I do my show out of, and I knew where he was going. I wanted to open up a window and just scream, no, don't do it, because I knew where he was going. But he was right, man. Like, a lot of folks, even who criticized him publicly just to get some retweets, probably privately nodded their head. Yeah, little fist pump for you, Kirk. I mean, I'm going to blast you publicly because, hashtag, but he's right. And maybe the targeted shot at Michigan, maybe a little far, but he's right. Now, there is a faulty school of thinking out there that if you expand the playoff to 8, then that's going to solve all this. And I don't know that that's the answer either. I just think that you've got to, again, control what you can control and preach competition, like the spirit of competition. That's what sports should be based on, period. It's especially tradition and competition what college football should be based on. It's not a bracket. That's not what the sport's built on.
Josh Pate, before we let you go, we got to get your upset pick. I took Kansas State over Texas this week, a Longhorn program that I think is packing it in. Lonzo is taking Coastal over BYU, the late ad. Where are you going?
Could you provide me the standings here, by the way?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Here we go. Josh Pate is in third place with 25 points. Panda is in second with 34.5. Lonzo has 37. You are 12 points down of first.
Where? Hold on. I didn't hear your name. Where? So you're in what place?
You jerk. I'm in fifth place with 21.5.
Okay, well, listen, if you had fun, you won, Mark. I just want you to remember that. And that's what I'm going to put on your trophy when I said that.
Come on.
All right, look, I'm going to go somewhere I don't think anyone else is going. I'm going Indiana plus 14 with a backup quarterback, by the way. So, in a way, I think I should get more than 14 points if this hits. But I'm going Hoosiers plus 14 over Wisconsin.
You nervous, Lonzo? You nervous?
No, why should I?
Okay. He's not nervous
in the end. If Josh wins, good for him. As long as you don't win, that's all I care about.
Josh, great catching up with you, man. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.